from Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shankshatra's abbot gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcast1.com.au or download the app.
Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, hello, good morning, Alana and Gliso. How are you this morning?
Real good.
Very
good
well,
morning.
Dits.
Thursday morning. Gee, another beautiful start here in Adelaide, isn't it?
It is indeed. It was a bit of a wild and woolly night, wasn't it, last night?
Yeah.
It was, the old man's seen everything. He's been here for a week. He's seen every type of weather pattern that Adelaide has on offer.
Did you play golf again yesterday with Dad?
No, it was terrible. I was going to go out and have a go, but I got home around 11:30 yesterday, and it was, she was all over by then. So,
Dad, let's go to the pub.
We both sat there watching television, fell asleep on the lounge. It was
nice.
A beautiful family story.
At least so. He can do that at home.
That's right, he does.
Come to Adelaide to sit in your lounge room and sleep.
Sure, how to show a bloke a good time,
gee.
That's for sure.
That's right. Unbelievable. Hey, speaking of how good it is in Adelaide this morning, as I look out over the suburbs, not so good in North Adelaide this morning.
No.
They're cranky again.
What are they whinging about? What's going on?
Look, there's a proposal to extend some liquor laws around Adelaide Oval in the parklands for events, and residents aren't happy.
We need more places to drink and party.
Well, it's a great entertainment precinct. And I mean, you know, you go to the MCG, they've got an entertainment precinct all around there. It's just one of those things.
Are you supposed to have tailgate parties?
Exactly.
Let's bring
that American tradition here.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about North Adelaide later on this morning, see if we can upset them even more. Hey, we'll cross to Hollywood as well. What's the latest there, Alana?
Oh, it's all about Harvey Weinstein or Stein. I'm not sure the correct pronunciation of his name, but gee, he's being talked about a bit at the moment. It seems like every day another actress is coming out and revealing what took place. It's all pretty disgusting, really.
The cat is out of the bag.
Incredible abuse of power, and it's amazing that this secret has been kept for so long.
That's Hollywood.
You say that's Hollywood. Seriously, do you reckon he's the only one?
No.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought so.
No. So I just wonder
but
if this is going to be
I think he's the most high profile.
If it's going to be a domino effect, they're all going to start being named.
Well, I mean, the casting couch has long been spoken about in jest. You know, the old casting couch. Yeah. Well, I imagine it's a bit little more real than people realise.
Spoken like a true rock and roller. Fantastic.
Come in the room, I need a massage.
Alana and you want to be a dancing girl? Of course, I've got a band. Alana and Gliso. That was only hypothetical. So Alana and Gliso here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
We've got Alana and Gliso here all this week on Triple M Ruse, coming back next Monday morning, all refreshed. Hey, here's a question without notice, sorry.
Awesome.
We weren't going to talk about this, but I've just seen on our TV screens, Harvey Weinstein's gone into sex rehab. How do you rehabilitate with sex?
Well, I'm wondering if they wean you off it.
I was just thinking they show you sit and look at that TV screen for a day, and they're going to be the ugliest people you've ever seen, right?
I'm just laughing at how you stared at Gliso for that question, like he's had some experience
in the field.
I was a bit gun-shy to go to you with it. That was the thing.
He's not
being
the first.
Respectful.
David Duchovny had to go to sex rehab when he broke up with Tia Leone, or when
Tiger
he's trying.
Woods?
Tiger did.
Tiger,
I mean, ruined his golf. That's all I'll say
he's
about that.
He's never been the same.
Nah.
No.
Rehab was terrible for him.
How do they wean you off?
Maybe he has to. I mean, because he's a good-looking man, Harvey Weinstein, I would say. Maybe
hang
just
on, let's go to the ladies on this. Alana?
I think that's definitely up for debate.
Yeah.
Mel
the button
probably,
pusher?
Probably wouldn't categorise him as good-looking.
No.
No good. There you go.
No.
2-0.
Just 2-0. Cold turkey? I don't know.
Cold turkey.
Would that
That'll
help?
Do it. That'll do it. He's a cold turkey. Righto. I'm glad I asked you, Alana. Right, now the things that are making news right around the place. Immigration growth here in South Australia. There's a report in today's Advertiser that we are only growing because of immigration, because of people coming here, because, again, the exodus to the eastern states is so big. So is that the answer? Do we just open our borders and let everyone in?
Well, it looks like we're in trouble because there's some visa rules set to change. And if that's what we're totally relying on for population growth, immigration, and then visas aren't being issued as easily, then they're saying that we could move to 0% growth in terms of population. Mm. So I guess that's a worry. Mm. I don't know if we just make it a free-for-all, though.
Mm. Is growth really the key? I mean, you hear people talking about growth. Obviously, we've got high unemployment here at the moment. Well, shouldn't we be working on making sure that everyone that's here kind of is looked after before
so industry,
we...
yeah. Look, I personally, I've felt in recent months, maybe over the last year or two, I think we've had a lot of good announcements. When you look at Whyalla, Port Augusta, you know, mining, Oz Minerals was one that I can think of. Now the shipbuilding's another one I can think of. We seem to be... making a lot of good announcements here, I think.
The tourism sector seems to be flying as well.
Yep.
Yep.
And we're all, so I've been here 12 years now. I used to say I'm a transplant to Adelaide, but now I say I'm a transplant. Everyone goes,
very good.
You're back. You're here. Yeah. But I mean, my wife, obviously, she went over to the Eastern States as a young lady to start a career over there. And I think what you find is, better over here. I mean,
all right, you're both imports, really. Yep. Well, you are, not really. You're from Newcastle. Yep. All right, tell me about Adelaide in 30 seconds. Good place to live?
Absolutely perfect. Great to get around, convenient, great schools, great facilities for the kids to play in around the place. I love it. I spruik it all the time. People go, what are you doing living in Adelaide? And I say, mate, I don't sit in traffic like some moron in Sydney for 3 hours a day.
And you live in the Adelaide Hills, which is beautiful. Yep. Yeah.
It's only 20 minutes from the middle of the city. So it's, I couldn't speak highly enough of the
joint. All right, Alana from Sydney.
Absolutely. I agree with Glee. So I don't live in the hills, but I love it when visitors come and you can be at the beach and in the hills in the same day. It's all easy. Day-to-day life is super simple. Beautiful houses. You've got space. No traffic concerns. When it's peak hour, you add 5 minutes to your journey instead
of Cooper's Pale. Not that you can't get it anywhere else. It's nice to be at the source.
on having to learn how to speak slightly differently, though, I was voicing a script for SA Weekender the other day and they made me redo a few lines from chants and dance. And so I have had speak to make properly. A few adjustments. But yeah, I can't speak highly enough of the city. I think it's a great place.
Please.
And what about like all the development around the riverbank and you get your big city fix. You don't feel like you're missing out on anything, but day-to-day life is really easy.
Oh, there you go, everyone listening. A couple of imports praising Adelaide. Hey, Channel 10, what's going on around there?
Oh, look.
Are the lights still on?
They've got one guy left in Sydney to flick the switch on and off. It looks like there's someone in the office. I say any station that loses the rights to air MASH, which has pretty well been constantly played since the day that it first hit TV screens, you're in all sorts of strife, aren't you?
So they've been told they can't play MASH, they can't play Simpsons. What else? Family Guy?
Modern Family.
Modern Family.
Is another one. Gee. I mean, that's a big one. If I can't see Homer Simpson and Sofia Vergara... on a station, I ain't watching, baby.
No.
Do you know what I do like about it, though? They seem to let their on-air talent take the piss out of it all the time, like on the project. Or
really?
Have you been paying attention? They're always saying, have you been paid yet? And they're constantly having a crack at their own network.
Is
it's quite amusing.
So it turns out that Channel 10 wouldn't pay the necessary rights to Fox in America that own these programs.
Right, yeah, that's right. The negotiations have fallen down. And, look, I'm a massive Simpsons fan, so... that's probably the only reason I'd watch Channel 10 and have you been paying attention, which Alana says they take the P155 out of Channel 10 all the time.
All right, that's what's making news around the place. In a moment, we're going to head up to North Adelaide and just find out what it is today that North Adelaide residents aren't happy about. It's Ruined It's on Triple M with Alana and Gleeso.
Ruined It's for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined It's on Triple M. This week, we've got Alana and Gleeso with us. Harvey Weinstein, the now infamous producer, director in Hollywood, apparently he's gone into sex rehab, Gleeso.
Yes, in Europe. And we're talking a real heavyweight. This guy's been around for 30 years. He's got one of the most powerful production companies, agencies in the United States. He's had so many people, like massively influential people throughout the industry as friends over the years. And they have... abandoned ship like crazy.
His wife has as well. Everyone has.
22 women have come forward and leveled accusations at him. It's like, wow. I mean, it's not the first time. Bill Cosby's obviously going through stuff over there. And it's that power that people seem to wield in Hollywood that can be intoxicating
for
some.
All right, let's head to Hollywood right now. Our reporter over there, our correspondent right there in LA is Sam Rubin. He joins us. Sam, good morning. Is everyone shocked and stunned by this? Or I don't know, there are some of us that sit back and think this is just everyday sort of Hollywood behaviour or not.
Well, I tell you what, I think it's my degree. And that's the, you know, a couple items to get through. This quote-unquote open secret. Seth MacFarlane, when he announced the Oscar nominations 4 years ago, made a joke about Harvey Weinstein while announcing the nominations. I mean, and, you know, what could be more widely disseminated than that? The sitcom 30 Rock had scripted jokes about him and about his behavior. But what I don't think people, and then the notion, does the casting couch exist? You know, there's no question the casting couch exists. But to the degree where there was so much coercion, there was so much force, and there was so much, you know, actual violence, that's a different deal. And I think that's what's really been so appalling to people. There's an Australian and Kiwi model that you guys may or may not be familiar with. I believe her last name is Brock, Zoe Brock, who was on television live from Auckland and told an unbelievable story that happened to her 20 years ago. And then someone said, oh, the courage to come forward. She said, courage to come forward? I've been telling the story for 20 years. Nobody wanted to hear it till now. Mm. So that's the thing that is so interesting to me, that there was this clear demarcation that something, you know, absolutely changed. And it was that, you know, the legitimacy of the New York Times and then that article coming out, and that has absolutely opened the floodgates.
Yeah, it seems like the list of women coming forward, and plenty of them really high profile, just gets bigger every day. How big is this going to be? What are people expecting? Is this going to continue, more and more women coming forward?
Well, you know, I had a very heartfelt conversation with Mira Sorvino, the Oscar winner for Mighty Aphrodite. And you could hear it, and I suspect this would be typical of anyone who's endured this kind of experience. You know, again, her experience took place more than 20 years ago. But this pain, and in her case, Rosanna Arquette, another one, who said because of their refusal to go along with it, that they felt their careers were diminished. You know, this woman won an Oscar. What has she really done since? She's worked a lot, but not the same kind of high-profile stuff. So I think there's all this, like, you know, the phrase we use here, there's just an enormous amount of yuckiness surrounding the whole thing. We've heard from so many. And now what I think will be interesting, and this is the names that we've not heard, but the Australian Zoe spoke of this, the enablers, the helpers, the people who work there, the typical MO, and this story is replicated again and again and again, is, you know, he spots and expresses an interest in a particular ingenue. And then that person comes to a meeting at the office or a party of some sort. And initially there are 12 people. There are 20 people. But somehow the number diminishes. And ultimately it's just the person and Harvey. Well, how does that happen? How do those people know to leave? And they know when they're leaving what they're leaving that person to. So that is kind of the sort of stuff. And you talked about people sort of bailing. There's a wake, you know, in the ocean of people who have bailed. The most notable, Jeffrey Katzenberg, a name you all might be familiar with, his, you know, work at Disney and Pixar and Steven Spielberg. Harvey apparently on Sunday afternoon wrote this email kind of in desperation to several power players in Hollywood and said, you've got to write the board of my company right now and, you know, prevent me from being fired. And Katzenberg has written, shared Harvey's email and his own response. And his response is, there must be two of you, because I knew the, you know, the brusque executive and the successful, but this other person I didn't know, and you know, this other person can't exist in Hollywood. So I mean, we've heard so many names in the last couple of days, and I think there is this distinction. It's all, you know, it's all bad, but chasing somebody around a hotel room and then understanding no, versus these three stories of where he did not understand that and had no interest in that.
Mm. Yeah, and Lindsay Lohan's actually come out, and she said everyone should give him a break. So I think she might be a voice in the wilderness.
Mm.
I think very, very much in the wilderness. That what, you know, she worked on occasion for, you know, this is the thing, is that he was the producer and often the procurer of the money. And, you know, all of this lives or dies on money. Movies don't get made unless somebody funds them. So even the Mira Sorvino, you know, was torn because she had the sense of gratitude because he very much helped her win an Oscar. And then, you know, yeah, look at all this other stuff.
Sam, thanks so much for joining us. Sam Rubin from Hollywood there on the spot. I've just seen a statement from Harvey Weinstein, by the way, through his representatives, saying he denies any of these allegations. He also goes on to say in the next sentence that any of these relationships were consensual. So he's admitting that something happened along the way. My question then is, why are you agreeing to go to sex rehab?
Yeah, well, I mean, and look, 22 people have come out, and it's hardly like just a random accusation. Mm. It's very widespread.
Well, he's a married man throughout that. Well, his wife, Georgina Chapman, she's a fashion designer in the US, has finally said she's leaving him. You would have thought after 30 years of this behaviour, she may have had some inkling before, and jokes have been made about it, etc. I guess. That's his only option, isn't it?
Mm.
To try and save some face.
Mm. But I'm just saying, though, that on one hand he's saying, I haven't done anything wrong. And then yet he agrees to go to sex rehab.
Well, he's saying legally he hasn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
Morally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Alana, here's a tough question. Now, you were involved in TV here sort of on a part-time basis, but you worked previously at Fox Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think no? That,
if there was a casting
no,
couch,
I am no. But it's interesting that Fox Sports, many of the presenters there, it's fair to say, are very attractive females. Is the TV industry in Australia clean in this sense?
I can't speak for the whole industry,
but you must have heard whether or not. I mean, do any of your colleagues come to you and say, "Oh, Fred just asked me to do this or do that"? Or
when I first started, it did have a culture of quite a boys' club, but I think that's changed over time. Saying that they're quite attractive, I think in general that just happens in TV. It's probably a bit unfair because some of the guys you see on TV are not that attractive.
Oh.
There's a real double standard in that sense. But I'm also, like, I had complete faith in all the women that I worked with, loved their sport, knew their sport. You quickly get found out if you don't know what you're talking about. So people weren't getting jobs just because they looked nice.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't suggesting that. Sorry, I didn't mean it to come across that way. But there's no doubt Fox took a different path where, and we're seeing it now, obviously, across the board, many, many more females are working in sport. We're seeing it mainstream, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But I thought there was a definite push with Fox that, you were all female presenters or not?
Yeah. Perhaps in the early days, but as you say, I think that it's very quickly evolved. We're seeing a lot more now women who are actually participants in sport, the likes of Daisy Pierce, et cetera. They look great, but they're playing the game as well.
Yep.
So I guess there's an argument there for that. But personally, I've loved working there and I found it all very above board.
Yep. Yep. Good. That's what I wanted to know.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Let's say a very good morning to the people up in North Adelaide.
Good morning.
From the Oval to Wellington Square. Does Anne Moran even care? These loud concerts are giving me hell.
Oh.
Unless, of course, it's Adele.
Hello.
We love Adele. St. Peter's is ringing the bell. Hey,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Hey, mama,
hang on, let's get to the chorus. Hang on.
Life in North Adelaide.
Oh, there you go. The melodic Dave Gleeson. Very good morning to everyone in North Adelaide. Now, they're up in arms and tell me, what is it all about?
Look, there are plans for Adelaide Oval to extend its liquor licence and stage some events in the parklands around the stadium, around Adelaide Oval, both in the North Gate and North Parklands areas and also adjacent to the East Gate. The residents are up in arms. They don't want it to happen. I can't really see what the problem is because most of that land is already used as car parks, and whenever they're staging major events at Adelaide Oval, it's taken up. So I don't really see what the big deal is. But I don't live in North Adelaide.
No, those parklands. If you look to the parklands that extend from the the Victor Richardson Gates out to King William Road. Mm-hmm. Beautiful area, isn't it?
Yeah.
The lawn's out there.
Yeah, it's
if you had some outdoor marquees and things there, I wouldn't have thought it's great. And in fact, on that side, there are no residents. It shouldn't be an issue.
No, I don't think it should be an issue. Obviously, you get local councils who, as soon as they see these things type of put forward, they're like, oh, no, it's going to ruin our style of life and all that stuff. I'm pretty sure Midnight Oil Butter playing in those parklands next year or later on this year when they come over. So, I mean, it seems like they've already got stuff booked in.
That'll wake them up.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The surgeons and the lawyers living up there.
Peter Garrett will be in fine company because he's a something, isn't he? He's a barrister or some type of...
Is he?
Yeah, yeah. He's got credentials. He's got letters after his name, including former minister.
Yeah, environmental.
Look, I'm not going into bat for them, but not being from here, it is a pretty unique thing that there are so many parklands around a city. You don't go to many cities that are surrounded by parklands like this. So I guess in some ways they do need to be protected, but being so close to the Oval, I can't see how this is the same story.
Mm. No, look, I just think... we have a lot of big events at the Adelaide Oval. The residents know that. I don't know that it is that disruptive, but I don't live there either.
Yeah.
If you live in North Adelaide, 133353, what's the issue? Please let us know. But as I said, I don't think even on the northern side, a lot of those are offices now along that street there.
Yeah.
They're not actually residential, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
What if they had maybe a choice? Say they said AC/DC are playing there and everyone could say no, and then they could say Andrea Bocelli's doing a concert there. They say, oh, of course we'll have Andrea Bocelli. Of course we'll have Adele, but none of the raucous stuff.
Ah, you reckon they're a bit selective?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, look, again, and I asked you only 10 minutes ago, what's great about Adelaide, and you both praised it. The one thing that we're not good at is we don't let things happen.
Fear change.
We close things down too quickly.
And this is change.
Yeah, this is just another case of it, I think. Lana, I don't know if you've had any feedback on this, but when you're talking to your husband at night, Andrew Fagan, who's the Crows CEO, for those that don't know, when AFL first went to Adelaide Oval, there were some complaints from residents. I think that the odd footy fan might have urinated in the front garden and things like that.
Right.
Is there a lot of feedback about that sort of stuff? Do you know? Do you get to hear about that?
We don't talk about it much at home.
No.
People urinating.
No. What's the urine count this week?
Fakes is, not always into all the minute detail. He's more of a big picture kind of guy.
Right.
But that's
it's not something I've heard a lot of complaints about.
I think in the first instance, there were a few
but
complaints.
We did come in after a season had already been played at Adelaide Oval, so perhaps they sort of that was an early problem that they've managed to get rid of.
And there is, I mean,
maybe it's only Port Adelaide games. maybe that's why you haven't heard about it.
Just speaking about the current liquor laws around that area, I was at an event, the opening of the Fashion Festival last night, which is at the Torrens Parade Grounds.
Oh, nice.
And one of the organisers was telling us, he said the public bar had to actually be off, like it's sort of off to the side and on a grassed area.
Mm.
And that was because of the liquor licensing. You couldn't have it in the parade grounds area where the rest of the marquee is. So they've had to extend the marquee to have that public bar. It seemed like a ridiculous rule because everyone went and drank in the area where
isn't
you could
stupid,
buy
yeah.
it. Yeah, it just didn't make a lot of sense.
Mm. But I mean, I must say about the urination thing and that, people do have a responsibility to when they are in someone else's area, like North Adelaide, if they're from other parts, don't trash the area. I mean that's what leads to then them getting filthy about stuff going on. So it does go a little bit both ways.
Mm.
And I'm moving to North Adelaide. I just thought I'd get myself in good with the local residents.
You are. No.
Not really.
No, I'm not. No, no.
She.
I'm happy in the hills.
No, she was going to say. Because a lot of people are about
We'd
to move.
We'd have to find you a new local if you did that.
My coming to North Adelaide. We're moving.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Well, a concerning story involving hacking and some sensitive data about the Australian military projects being stolen. To find out a bit more about this story, we're joined by Channel 7's Amelia Bruin. Amelia, good morning to you. What can you tell us about what's taken place in this case and the kind of information that's been taken?
Good morning, guys. Well, look, this is a really serious one. There is, a somewhat light-hearted element to it in that the hacker was given the code name ALF after the Home and Away star, which obviously Flamin' heck. But that really is the only, you know, sort of humorous element to it. It is really serious because the material that's been stolen mostly all relates to military projects. So obviously, really sensitive stuff that the government would not want out there. In total, 30 gigabytes of data was stolen by these hackers. It was actually stolen last year, around July, but it wasn't until November last year that the federal government was told about this. So for at least 3 months there, they had gone undetected. And that period of time, following on with the Home and Away reference, is now being dubbed our mystery happy fun time as authorities try to work out exactly what went on. Now, the Department of Defence contractor, which was breached, it has about 50 employees, but we've since found out that only one of them works in IT, and there was some serious, lack. The security was pretty lax because the company apparently used default logins and passwords. So the hackers may have really only needed to use the username and password combinations of things like admin and guest to be granted access. So it's quite incredible stuff. You know, I guess it's, the thing that we're always told to keep your passwords strong and keep them, up to date and regularly change them. But it seems in this case that number one rule has been broken. The federal government says the information was not classified, but of course, given what it was about, it was, commercially sensitive. So not great news.
And it's like talking about the information, it's like information on the specs of some of the ships and other appliances that they have, that they use in the Navy. What can be done with this information, do you think?
Yeah, well, as you say, the data included technical information about things like the $17 billion Joint Strike Fighter program, the $4 billion P-8 surveillance plane project. There was information about naval vessels, all that sort of stuff, which is obviously really sensitive and the last thing you want is for that information to get into hackers' hands. So in terms of what they can do with it, I mean, that remains to be seen, I guess. Obviously, there'll be a serious review of the workings of this particular contractor. And I guess across the board as well, it just kind of gives us a bit of a warning, doesn't it, about this sort of stuff does happen. And, we've got to be vigilant. The government doesn't know exactly who's behind it, but they do believe it could be, a foreign government somewhere. But obviously that's all the subject of an investigation at the moment.
Good on you, Amelia. Thanks so much from Channel 7 Sunrise. Amelia Bruin there on Channel 7. To me, the frightening thing is not whether they hacked into our military defence, secrets, but the fact that they can do it. Mm. That's what bothers me. And I think on a daily basis about our bank accounts and things like that, it affects us, I think.
Yeah, and look, the thing is, they don't know. As I said, it could be a foreign government. It could be a 15-year-old kid sitting
exactly.
around in his bedroom.
And that's what worries me.
Accessing stuff.
It shouldn't be that easy.
The fact that it took place in July of last year and spokespeople are saying we're still working busily to work out what's going on, that's a long time to try and figure who these people are, firstly, or who's behind it, and then where potentially the information's gone or been sold to.
Every time, last week I bought something online from the US for our nephew for a present.
Right.
Bothers me every time I do that. Oh, he's mad on NFL, American football. So he bought a little coffee mug or something with his team on it. But, credit card, all of that. It bothers me every time I do that and click on it. I think,
credit cards don't bother me too much.
Really?
The banks guarantee it. I have
techno fears.
Yeah.
I have a fear of all things like that. Someone in another country is going to steal the pittance that I've got in my bank account.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts and starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Anything un-Australian from now on, we'll name and shame, all right?
This is a blatant violation of the Constitution. Do you come from a land
down under? Christina Matthews demanded that we change the vernacular in cricket. She doesn't want us to say batsman, fieldsman, night watchman, third man, and it goes on and on and on.
Oh, the man one.
It's Mabo, it's justice.
Our Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has approved the change to Advance Australia Fair. It used to be for we are young and free, but it will now be in peace and harmony.
Vegan sausages at Bunnings, un-Australian.
Cadbury and other chocolate manufacturers have banned the use of the word Easter on the packaging of their products in order to stop offending other religions.
This is an outrage.
Bullshit.
This is you. Kindergartens, Roo, banning Bar Bar Black Sheep.
I'd never even thought of it being as racist
overtones.
Yeah.
Political correctness has finally now it's reached boiling point, and I've had enough.
And now to this week's reason why the world's gone mad.
Right, an Australian, we love this. We love to pick on things that, for example, this morning the North Adelaide residents, an Australian. They're up in arms that the Adelaide Oval authorities want to extend the liquor licences so we can get out into the parklands and have more parties and marquees and events out and around the Adelaide Oval. North Adelaide residents are saying no.
It's what we do best in Australia, isn't it? A party, big barbie outdoors, enjoying the sunshine and the countryside. So, yeah, that is un-Australian. Now, something I saw un-Australian last night on The Bachelorette.
Oh, my God. un-Australian.
Hey, look, it's un-Australian
that
not
is un-Australian.
To watch it,
no,
isn't it?
Sorry, Alana. If you're a female, men watching The Bachelorette.
Lisa loves it.
I just watch it for
un-Australian.
I watch it to see how I judge myself on how cool I am compared to those guys. Jared. He's my pet hate on the show. He's dead set. I've never seen anyone flush like he does. If he gets peed off about something, his face just goes bright red. And last night he was in all sorts when he found out that someone had urinated in his pot plant.
So I used to remember going to my mate's place when I was a kid. Yes, I was under the age of 10. I used to go to my friend's place and I went to his place without my blankie, and I couldn't stay over at his house because I was losing my mind.
Without it.
Shut up, man.
Leave him alone. I want to hear.
Such losers.
Honestly.
The blanket used to be like a towel, and I used to hang on to the blanket so much, and I slept with it every night.
And this is the part of the actual
This blanket. Is part of my blanket. I was just, I could never live without it. And,
No.
Yeah.
Looking over Jared's shoulder, and he starts sniffing the blanket. Mate, what are you doing? Why would you sniff your blankie?
I need a minute.
You good?
No.
Jared?
He's not right, Jared. Look, for anyone that didn't watch the show, likely, so that part was Sophie gave all the bachelors, I understand, something from their childhood.
From their parents,
childhood,
a special gift.
Yeah, so he's been given his little blankie from when he was a wee one.
Look, I'd take it all back.
It's just really brought out some emotions in him.
But it took him, he's regressed. So he's got so there he is under duress, but he's got his little square of blankie from when he was a under 10-year-old. And, it's taken him straight back to when he was under 10.
What's he sniffing it for?
See, can I just say, what a whacker I am. I was watching Four Corners. No, yeah, seriously, what a
loser.
What a dud I am. I take it all back. That is must-see TV now that I've heard about the blankie. Un-Australian.
Absolutely
Bloody
un-Australian.
Hell, you're kidding. Righto, 133353, what have you got for us, un-Australian? By the way, this has been dragging on for a few months now, but council's right now meeting weekly to change Australia Day.
Oh, not that is
this.
Un-Australian.
Un-Australian. I see where Marion voted the other night not to do it.
Good on them.
Good on them.
Absolutely.
133353, un-Australian. What have you got for us? Give us a ring, 133353. Hey, we've got the Hotter Than Hell Festival featuring Grinspoon. This is coming to Adelaide. Pre-sale. Is this Thursday, the 12th of October? Oh, today, pre-sale for Grinspoon, okay? And by the way, this is also our consolation prize for Grant from Albert Park too.
Yep.
Sorry, I meant to mention it. So Hotter Than Hell Festival featuring Grinspoon. It's coming to Adelaide. Give us a ring right now with your un-Australian examples, 133353.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast, 104.7 Triple M. Hey, I'm my
my hair. Laughing all that
late. Oh, 8:22, Alana and Gleeso, un-Australian comments. What have we got?
We're going to go to Steve from Prospect. Steve, what's your gripe? What's un-Australian?
Morning. During Father's Day, my wife went to buy me a nice Father's Day present from a well-known Australian clothing store. She was going to buy me a nice wallet, etc. And when she went to pay for it, they said that they couldn't accept a debit card, a savings account card. It had to be a credit card or cash.
And why is that?
Well, apparently their system wouldn't let them do it. And believe it or not, my wife was in total disgust. She had the money in the bank. She said, why would I put it on my credit card? Why can't I just use the money I've got?
That sounds very strange.
That is
it?
Odd. I don't know why they would do that. There's no advantage to them. They don't get extra fees for it or something.
I don't know anything about it, but it's definitely un-Australian.
There you go. Steve, on Father's Day, just bloody make the sale. You're right.
Ben at Woodville West, what's un-Australian?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I'd like to nominate Nick Kyrgios for being un-Australian.
Yes.
Well, popular choice.
Well done.
Well done.
He should be able to nominate another country to move to, I think, to represent.
Yeah. Sorry, just get Ben on for one more second. Ben, what would you do with Nick Kyrgios? I'm thinking a long-term ban from the tour.
I think just get rid of him altogether.
Yeah. Yeah. If he just does not appreciate anything or the position he's got, or he doesn't respect anything or anyone, does he?
And you just have to remember that the Australian Institute of Sport pumps a lot of money into these kids from a very young age as soon as they show any aptitude. Yep. So there is a certain amount of the Australian way of paying back, paying people who have paid your way.
Well done, Ben. I like it.
All right. Now to Lynn from McLaren Vale. What do you think, son Australian?
Alexandria Council out at Victor Harbour Way.
Right. What's happened?
There's been a water tank advertising a local business for over 20 years with a rainbow on it. And it is just advertising their local business of rainwater tanks, but it's got a rainbow on it and it's been in the festivals and things. Alexandria Council told them it has to go. It can't be put on anyone's private council land, any private land either. It has to go. They've got to get rid of it.
For what reason?
Well, we don't know, but it has got a rainbow on it, and it's been there for over 20 years, but they've just been told no signage like that can go. They can have a little A-frame. So it's been there for 20 years. Kids love it when they go past on their holiday to Victor, and, you know...
We all know how divisive rainbows can be.
Yeah,
yeah, they're pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, that's a bit odd, Lynn. All right.
It is odd.
Yeah, thanks for letting us know. Bob at West Beach. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How you doing?
Good. And Alana.
And Alana.
I'm a guy.
Hey, guys.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Okay.
What's un-Australian, Bob?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I dumped my son. I went to Bunnings to buy some house tonight, and I was carrying it out, and I dropped my wallet. And a tradie in a high-vis vest walked past me, picked it up, took all the money out of the wallet and threw the wallet in the building section.
No
way.
And, yeah, what, $500.
What, you watched him do it?
No, we went back and looked at the cameras.
Oh, you're kidding.
In an orange high-vis vest, walked the other way, picked it up, took the money out, threw it in one of the shelves.
That is terrible.
It wasn't clear enough for them to identify him. But he did have a badge on his left-hand side, but
don't
we couldn't identify
it.
That.
Had he come out
of the shop, or he was...
No, I was walking out past where the barbecue area was, and he was walking in. And as I went past, because you go in the store, I dropped my wallet, and dropped my glasses, and my wallet dropped at the same time, picked my glasses up. And... 99% of blokes would have said, hey, mate, you've got your wallet.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Sorry
about that, Bob.
Painting, didn't get the painting done a weekend. I had to go to the footy instead.
Yeah, well done.
Very un-Australian.
Sorry to hear stories like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is definitely un-Australian.
Especially at Bunnings.
Especially at Bunnings at the barbecue.
Absolutely.
Hey. What a sight!
I remember I found $10 once when I was about 9 or 10 years old. My mum made me knock on every door in the street to see if I could find the person that dropped $10.
Did you?
I did. I went to every door. In the rain.
No, did you find someone?
No, I didn't. I got to keep the $10.
Yeah,
and bought myself a big rubber scary mask.
Yeah, what you do is I've found just don't knock too hard. Don't.
Mum was in the car. Yeah. I'm standing in the rain, and I should have been doing that. Just little
Tap.
No one there,
Mum. No one answered, Mum?
No.
Right. No, was, we're not being un-Australian.
My mum was Australian.
Just being silly. We're not un-Australian. Bob, I don't know if you'd want to go and see Grinspoon, but maybe your son, your lad, or maybe you do want to go. Hotter Than Hell Festival featuring Grinspoon. It's coming to Adelaide. There's a website too, hotterthanhelltour.com.au. This will be enormous. So, Bob, don't like hearing stories about that, so hopefully that eases the pain a little bit. Hey, Gleeso, you've got some suburban songs coming up.
Yeah, so I have indeed. We've been working on a bunch of new ones. And
who are we picking on today? Who are we singing about today?
Well, I don't know. What is today's one? We got one. I think we're just talking about them. I've only just put them in the can. They're doing a bit of fairy dust all over them. Okay. The producers, but
all right.
I think the people from Davern Park will be pleasantly surprised.
Oh no, next little while.
Triple M
today. Now Gleeso, very 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 special day in the Gleeson household.
It really is. My daughter turns 13 today.
Teenager.
My first teenager.
Wow.
And she's a beautiful girl, Bella. It's all going on. She's been accepted into Heathfield High School next year.
Wow.
She's very excited about going there. Mm. From a school of about 79 kids to a school of 800 kids. So,
despite you being her father, she got in.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. That's right. And I want to wish her a very happy birthday. I'm not going to be there today. Took her out last night with the family and my father to a restaurant for dinner, and
what does a 13-year-old get, a girl?
We got her a watch. Mum and myself got her a watch.
Nice.
That's what my family would get at the 13th birthday. So, and it'll help her working out where she has to be next year
enough,
at high school.
For my 13th birthday, Mum and Dad said, "What do you want?" I said, "I want a watch." And they said, "No, you can't."
That's just creepy. do 13-year-olds want like an Apple Watch or a traditional watch?
We got her a traditional watch. She got a bunch of other stuff, you know how it goes. But happy birthday, Billy Boo.
Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.